Let's all stand if you would. Amen. You happy to be out this morning? Amen. Thank God for another wonderful opportunity to be able to come in together. Let's just bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, once more we've come and gathered ourselves together, expecting you, Lord, to come this morning and speak to our hearts through the way of your word. And Lord, we've just come humbly asking you, Lord, that you would give us each one our portion today. And Lord, may it do a work in our lives that would be needed. And Lord, may it help us to climb one rung higher on that ladder, preparing us, Lord, more and more for that great day that's soon to come. And Lord, may we be ready. And Lord, as we've gathered this morning, may we have prepared our hearts for the hearing of thy word. And Lord, may we have come in the Spirit, asking you to have your way. And Lord, help us just to focus everything else out, Lord, and to focus upon you and your word, and to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor that's due you in the lovely, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things. Amen. While you're still standing, let's just sing that little chorus, "I Will Praise You." Amen.
I will praise him.
True, sing it one more time.
Just turn our Only Believe books over to 675, if you would. Amen. So thankful for what God's done for me. Amen.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. No, for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me.
you think of those words as you sing that chorus, mercy there was great, and grace was given to me freely. Pardon was multiplied because I had many things that I needed a pardon for. And there my burdened soul found liberty. I was bound, I was chained, but God set me free to be able to worship Him, to praise Him, and to place a love in our heart that we could sing that chorus and it be more than just words on a page. But by God's grace, I have obtained the mercy that this song is speaking of. I have obtained the grace that was so freely given, and my pardon was multiplied. And by God's grace, I can stand here today and sing that little chorus and sing it back to Him with a reality in my heart that for what He's done for me is why I can stand here this morning with a true thanksgiving burning in my heart and raise my hands and thank Him for what He's done for me. He's truly worthy of all our praise, saints. Amen. Sing it again. Oh, mercy, great and great, grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my saints, what we owe Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's turn over here to page 51 if you would. Same book. Amen. Oh, down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Oh, singing glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart. Glory to His name. Amen. Oh. exactly what page it's on, but let's sing that little chorus, The Great Emancipator. Amen. Let's see if I can find you a page number here real quick. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, he's so wonderful, saints. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm sorry, anybody got a page number?
34 in the capstone.
Amen. In the capstone. Amen. Wasn't sure. Hallelujah. Yeah, if you need the words. Amen. Just a little simple chorus. But amen. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Standing on holy ground. Amen.
We are standing.
You may be seated if you'd like. Amen. Brother Gensel, if you wouldn't mind, would you care to come take up the offering? Hallelujah. Just ask the blessing.
blessing, if you would.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we just love you this morning and thankful, Lord, for the opportunity. Come in the house of the Lord and feel your presence, Lord, and sing these songs by revelation, Lord. And not just a song that we just sing, but, Lord, we sing them by revelation. And Lord, how we just love and appreciate you for everything that you're doing in our lives and the move we see. And just thankful, Lord, that we have you in our lives. We pray, Lord, that you'd bless this offering and use it for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. Bless those that can give and those that can't. And just have your preeminence and remainder of the service, Lord. And may we be hungry to receive that word, Lord. And that, Father, you would feed us this morning that which we have need of. That we may draw closer to you, Father. We give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Yes, dear Lord. Let's just sing that little chorus. I'm redeemed by love divine. Amen.
Oh, I'm redeemed by love divine. Oh, glory, glory. Christ is mine. All to him I now reside.
Amen.
I have been redeemed. Oh, I'm redeemed by love divine. Oh, glory, glory, Christ is mine, all to him I now reside, amen. I have been redeemed,
amen. Sing it again.
I'm redeemed by love divine,
amen.
Oh, glory.
Hallelujah. Oh, what a thing to know in this day we're living in. Amen. Would anyone have a need upon your heart you'd like to have remembered as we go to God in prayer? Brother Paul, would you take the request this morning?
Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord Jesus, we just want to give you all the thanks,
dear Lord. Hallelujah.
For all you do for us, Lord Jesus, and all you have done for us, Lord. We just want to thank you for all those many blessings.
Seated. Amen. I believe the young children have a song they'd like to sing this morning, if they'd come. all about us. Amen. Anyone else have a song this morning? Anyone? One at all. Amen. Well, if not, let's all stand. As we ask our brother to come, let's be reverent and keep our hearts in tune. And just ask God to speak to us through the way of His Word this morning. Sing that little chorus, Only Believe. Amen. Only believe.
Appreciate the Lord this morning. Thank God for His mercy and His grace. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, oh precious Lord, again we are so thankful for Your mercy and grace, Lord, and You've given to us in our lives. Lord Jesus, as we've come here this morning, we gathered here, Lord, again to worship You, praise Your holy name, to glorify You. Lord, to gather around the Word of God. Lord, asking that by the Holy Spirit You'd feed our hearts. Lord, we realize we can do nothing without You. Oh God, man in this hour so many times boast within themselves of what they can do. But Lord Jesus, by grace we are saved, not of works. Nothing we can do in ourselves, but Lord, with that precious holy desire You placed inside. Lord, You're able to do all things that You promised You'd do through these tabernacles of flesh. We ask now that You'd have the preeminence, Lord, and speak to us through the Word. And give us revelation of it, Lord, as it comes forth. In Your precious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. I appreciate the young people's little song there this morning. It's beautiful. Amen. So good. And many of the songs that were sang this morning, and even many things they said in their little song, go with our message this morning. So that's real good. Amen. But let's turn our Bibles, if you'd like to turn with me before you sit down. 1 Peter, 4th chapter, and the 11th verse. Just read a short verse there before you sit down. Amen. Thank God for His precious Word. So glad to have everybody with us today that could make it. And even have Brother Michael and Sister Martha with us. They're from North Carolina, passing through. And I hope they're able to survive today. They got in late last night, but I believe they got some decent rest. So may God bless them. It's such a privilege to have them with us today. And each and every one of you. Amen. It's God's grace. All right, so we find 1 Peter, 4th chapter, and this 11th verse. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. May God bless reading His Word, and you may be seated. I'd like to title my little message this morning, and the Lord laid on my heart to bring. And again, it's another one of the messages. I'm never going to get it all out today, so we'll just try our best to go as far as we can without holding you too long. But I'd like to title a little message this morning, All Things. All Things. And hopefully this will have a little more light to it when we go through these precious words. But we realize we're living in an age and time where God has given a people requirement. And we are required that he would get all the glory and all the praise which he's truly worthy of. But Satan has always tried to steal that glory from God from the time clear back in heaven. And we realize that God created Lucifer to be the devil. That Lucifer was always trying to steal away from God. He's a thief. Always trying to steal. So we find that in this stealing and Satan trying to steal, he's always trying to belittle God, making something someone smaller than what he really is, and cause an atmosphere for him not to get glory and praise and to be the great I am, the truth, the light of the way. Satan's always tried to disturb that and distract people from that and to kill this glory from God. But we realize that God still has the glory. And we'll still get the glory above all things. And we realize also that God wants us to be in that position with him. That he will get all that glory through our lives. And that we will let him have the preeminence of our lives as the prophet spoke about it in Christ the mystery of God revealed. But again, Satan is trying all he can do to stop that. In this civilization that he has mustered together with his filth, corruption, and materialism, all kinds of things going on, the filth on the land and just the way he's got into people's actions and thoughts and the all the material things that go together. He's placed that all together now to cause a distraction with God's people. Again, so for the purpose that God won't get the glory and he won't get that preeminence in the lives of his people. But God made sure he made a way that he still would. But yet that doesn't stop Satan from trying to destroy and trying to take away and trying to steal the glory from God and steal from God to have this preeminence over his people. Satan's there as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, constantly battering and smacking and hitting. But oh, we must have the shield of faith and the sword, the helmet of salvation, our feet prod or shod with the preparation of the gospel. You see, all these things, we must be covered from head to toe with Jesus Christ to be sure the enemy does not have an opportunity to cause us to not let God have all things in our life. As we go into this, I want you to see, as I said, I probably won't get to it all this morning, but I trust that you'll be able to see how that this all things is so important even to speak about in this hour. And the things the prophet said about it, but I'm going to read a lot of things the scripture says, and what the prophet says, as I said, I'll try to go as far as I can in it. But just remember today, he wants all things in your life. He wants all things in your life. And many scriptures prove that. And we've read them before, and you've read them before, but just to kind of get our foundation set for this, if you want to, turn your Bibles to Matthew 13 and the 45th verse. We'll just read a few verses, kind of set the stage for what we're speaking about this morning and what we feel by the Holy Ghost is very important for us to have in our lives and understanding of. So we find Matthew 13 and 45th verse, 13th chapter. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man. Oh, this is in a lot of stories, isn't it? Seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. All right, now let it set the foundation in your thinking now and in your heart. Here Jesus himself is using this parable here, speaking about this merchant man. Finds this pearl of great price. I'll tell you, there's no greater pearl than our Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that This man sold all that he had to be able to get this pearl of great price. All right? Now let it sink deep. Now let these things, as we read it, be personalized in your life. Okay, you personally sitting there as an individual. I had to stand here this morning as an individual, but you're sitting there. And let's make sure we take it personal. Okay? All right, the next scripture, let's read Matthew 6. Just back up a little bit. Matthew 6, 24. And let's read here what he said. I'll try to take it a little easier on you today because I know it's been a lot of hard, hot sun preaching lately. You know, but yet it's getting the bride ready. See? And remember, it's the rocks that cries out, it's too hot. We don't want any more, you see. But that little seed, that's what I've been waiting on, you see. All righty. So Matthew 6, 24, no man can serve two masters. Remember, he wants to be all things to you. All things. And I'm telling you where this is going to go to. It's beautiful. I just wish I could get to it all today, but I can't. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one. Oh my, are we going to hate the works of the flesh? Huh? Are we going to enjoy the works of flesh? Carnality. There's so many people that's even saying they're believers today is enjoying the works of flesh. They enjoy the worldly things. They enjoy keeping up with sports. They enjoy keeping up with worldly music. They enjoy having something worldly in their home. They enjoy worldly magazines. They enjoy dressing worldly. Yeah, just try to stay on the verge to say they're dressing modest, but yet it's sin. You know? It's just the way believers is even trying to be anymore. You see? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's impossible. Again, our Lord Jesus himself is showing us here, he's going to be all things in your life. All things. And when we find out if he ain't all things in our life, we just ain't seed whatsoever. Or we're not born again. We're seed and not born again, or we're just not seed whatsoever. Because God doesn't speak anything that isn't true. He doesn't speak anything that comes to pass. It always comes to pass. Every time. It happens. It's always, God's always fulfilling his word. God always proves his word. 100%. See? But remember, we're living in an age of soft, rich living. You know? Everything's at ease. And so, Brother Steve, I got to work hard for what I've got. I'm going to tell you, we still ain't got it like they do a lot of them in the Philippines or India or a lot of the places in Africa, someplace in Africa. We ain't even close to that. No. We are rich. Now, you may not have a dime in your billfold right now, but you're rich in material things. They are. You've got an automobile, plenty of clothing. You always got plenty of food to eat. You got a home to live in. You're rich. That is the lifestyle of today. Everything's at our fingertips. And if it ain't at our fingertips, we got a credit card. You see? Because the way Satan has set it all up, it's for one purpose. And that's to steal you and to steal away from God what he deserves. Are we allowing it in anything? You know, I've mentioned so much about telephones and Facebook and things, you know. How much more time have I got on that phone than I do talking to the Lord, reading and studying? I ain't saying phone's wrong. I ain't saying that. Now, whether God does or not, that's up to him. But I have no word to back it up, as the prophets say about different things. And that can tell you is what the Holy Ghost through the word will show you. You see? It's not in the Bible about a cell phone. It's not in the Bible about Facebook. But there's things of the word that pertains to that. You see? So what are we doing with our lives in all these things we're offered in life? You see? Is our life centered on that and not on things above? Remember, God Well, we'll get to it. Just keep in mind what I've been saying. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Now, let's read another scripture. Let's read Luke 15, 26. Let's just keep establishing this for just a little bit. Luke 15 and begin to 26 verse. Now, again, I'm giving you the word, not my ideas. All right? I'm giving you the word. Okay? Luke 15, 26 to 33. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, what do we love most? What's he saying here? And look what he picked out. Something that was the closest to us. Yeah. Why did God have to put that there? What was the reason for it? You see? Why would he put in there about, now wait a minute, hate my father and my mother and my brother and my sister? How could I do this? Why would God require this? You see? What if that brother tried to take you away from the word? What if daddy was always blaspheming what God was doing and then trying to get you to do the same thing? What would you do if he's trying to distract you? Huh? What would you do if your wife was trying to distract you away from the Word of God? She wants to bring something of filth in the home, or carnal, or fleshly, and yet you know it's against the Word of God. Huh? Who are you going to love the most? Huh? Remember, if it ain't him in all things, we ain't got it. Because God is not going to change his word for this modern age we live in and with all this trash we got around us. He's not going to change his word. He's going to keep it the same regardless, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see? He's not going to change it because the human race has turned into nothing but filth and trash and just laziness and corruption and taking away from the word and adding to it and doing whatever their flesh wants. He ain't going to change it for that. It'll just be more that's going to burn and the ashes that the righteous is going to walk on. And I'm telling you, friend, there's going to be plenty of ashes to walk on. Amen. Yeah, there is. There's going to be a lot of ashes to walk on. You see? He says here, now he says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross. Are we going to pick up some kind of a wooden cross like Jesus had to carry and carry it around all day? No. That's death to yourself and carnal senses and flesh. You see? Death to himself. That means death. That means, now when it's dead, there's no resurrecting it. You see, it's dead. There's no life coming from it. If it's dead, if I'm dead, these things of the world are dead to me, and I'm dead to it, then how's it going to operate my life? You see, if it's dead. And whosoever did not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Look how many times he's just plainly telling, you ain't mine. No maybes, it's just, you ain't mine. We'll say it in an old common way. You're not mine. Not when it's like this. Because remember, God made sure he'd have people to do this, what he wants done, and know exactly what he means. It's no confusion to it. It's no, I can't figure it out. I don't understand, like you hear so much today. I don't understand. Well, was it given to you to understand? Jesus already told his disciples before it was given to them to know, but to others it was not given. You see? It's not given to everybody to know. It's not given to everybody to know what I'm going to be preaching today. And as this goes on the internet and people listen to it, it's not given to everybody to know. I know that. The Word says so. So you can't make everybody see it. It's impossible, you see? Because not everybody's bride. Even among thousands and thousands in the message is not bride, you see? We've shown that where Brother Bram said that, all right? Let's go on. He says here, For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, and it is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consoleth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. There it is, plain again. Jesus didn't beat around the bush. Just plainly says, you're not mine. And I'm not going to change it because you don't have the desire. I'm not going to change it because there's too many things in your life. I'm not going to change it because Satan has offered you all kinds of things, of mechanism, mechanical things, and pleasures of life, and soft things of living. Just because of you, I'm not going to change it. No. I am that I am. He keeps his word.
Amen.
You see? All right? Luke 10th chapter, and begin to 57th verse. Luke 10 and 57. And it came to pass that after they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Don't that sound like a lot of people today? I'll follow you, Lord, and I'll do whatever you want me to do. There's no price too great, Lord. I can do it, Lord. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nest. I think that, look at what we've got. And he's not telling you have to get rid of everything. No. You got to have a roof over your head. You got to have an automobile, get back and forth to work, come to services and all that. Where's your heart? And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Wow. The Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. He said unto you somewhere down in life, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now Jesus has already seen what was more important to him. And look at the example the Lord gives us now. Your father. Your father. Your natural flesh and blood, you're part of, uses these things that would seem should be the most important thing in our lives. But it's not. Jesus Christ has got to be all things to you.
Amen.
All things. And he said to another, follow me, but he said, Lord, suffer me first. I like to stress on it. First, Lord. How many times we've had other things? First. Let me get on my phone first. Let me see where the ball game's at first, Lord. Let me listen to this new song this religious group come out with first, Lord. It's a bunch of hypocrites with earrings on, lipstick on, everything else, and bald heads. Shaved heads, women. I first, Lord, I've got to do this. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. Oh, you hear so much of that today. I'll follow you. I'll follow you. They get a little outpouring of the Holy Spirit, touching the people in the congregation. I'm ready now, Lord. I'm going to follow you. Yeah. But then let the word start coming. Look out. Oh, I didn't consider I'd be able to take this 10,000, my 10,000, and let the 20,000 come against me. I better change my mind on this and send a message of peace. Lord, let's hold off this a little bit. I ain't ready for this. Another said, Lord, I will follow thee. Let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Isn't that something? These things that are supposed to be so close to us, or should seem to be so close to us. And yet, look how God thinks of it. Look how God looks at it. That's the problem. We can't see things the way God sees it. That's why it's so needed in this hour to have the same Holy Ghost, the same God in us. Then we would see things the same way. Regardless how important it may look in life, this word must be first. If I had to look like Granny walking down the street, then let me look like Granny going down the street. If I can't look like the rest of the world walking down the street, being a man, let me dress like I'm supposed to and not look like the world. And let them make fun of me. So what? And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow, you start with this thing. Never one in here has started already with this. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, look how plain and blunt he's going to be, is fit for the kingdom of God. Wow. That's just about as blunt as he can put it. You ain't mine, the kingdom ain't yours, and all this, that, and the other. If we, just the simplest things is this, what Jesus is talking about. But did it change 2017? Huh? Well, Brother Steve, but I got holidays coming up, you know, and I've got things I got to do, and I've got this to take care of and that to take care of. And I've got presents to buy, you know, and I've got this to do. Oh, my. Really? My. Philippians 3:8. Let's see a Holy Ghost-filled man. After these things Jesus spoke, that's got the same Holy Ghost in him. In other words, the same Spirit of God. God is in him. And what he says about life. Philippians 3:8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Think of that. Think of that. Is there something material that keeps me from crying out, praying, seeking God for this knowledge? Or can we count it all lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus? For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. Wow. Today you would think people desired to keep their dung. Yeah. But who in the right mind desires to keep their own dung? Huh? I don't think there's anybody sitting here desires to
past dung and then go collect it and want to keep it. And that, I'm sorry to be so graphic sounding, but that's what Paul's trying to get across. Amen. That's how much worthless it is. You see? That's how no more value it has to it. Amen. And Paul's saying, I've done counted all as loss. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Wow. Is there something that keeps me from studying and praying, crying out to God, meditating? Scripture says singing, making melody unto the Lord. From your heart. Is there something that keeps us from doing that? Then are we fit? Are we fit for this? I'm going to tell you, he's going to have all things in a people. All things. Everything he says, he'll have it. Just the way he said it. You see? In Standing in the Gap, Brother Branham says here in June 23rd, 1963, paragraph 21. Now remember, I read you things out of the Word, right? Amen. You all say amen to that.
Amen.
All right? So, well, Brother Steve, you stressed it a little bit too hard. I probably didn't stress it enough. The way Jesus put these things.
Amen.
I mean, when you go talking about mother and father, brother and sister, and have to hate him for his sake, then that's pretty stern. Oh my, yeah. And if I can't count things as lost and count it as dung, something's really wrong. You see, I always wonder how God today would be putting us with the word He gave us through that prophet. Wow, with the understanding we've been given so abundantly, and the messages after messages. Then it'd be stressed. Wow. Now, Brother Steve, got to keep in mind, though, things has got a lot softer since then. Oh, no, it ain't. The old devil trying to do that.
Amen.
Yeah, just like he did clear back in heaven. Trying to steal away from God. A thief he was. Trying to steal things away from God. But God created him for a purpose. Yeah. So he could express His life through a bride today and conquer all that. Amen. We'll get to it. He says here, but he'll not judge it by any church. Now here we go. We've just read those words, and he's talking about judging the people. But he'll not judge it by any church, and thank God he will not. As I don't know a church in the land that's perfect as far as a body of people gathered together. Not even this one. There's three kinds of believers in every congregation. So I surely wouldn't want to see God judge it by some church. No, that'd be a mess, I'm telling you. I mean, even message churches vary from this one and that one, and this one believes this, and this one don't believe that, and this one believes this. They take away here and they add here. Just a mess. Yeah. I'm sure good thing he ain't going to judge it by message churches. Yeah. He says, but he'll judge it. The Bible says he'll judge the world by Jesus Christ. Who is he? The Word. Now that's scriptural. And the Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The same yesterday, today, and forever. So he is the Word, and this is Christ in letter form I just read from. Christ in letter form. Okay? All right. In conferences, June 8, 1963, paragraph 281. God has got to judge the church by something. God has got to judge the world by some standard. You believe that? Now the things we read, people's got to be judged.
Amen.
By it. There's got to be something. God just isn't going to speak what I just read in the scriptures and then just come to naught. He's going to judge the world by what some of these things I already read today. Okay? He says, well, if he's going to judge it by the church, which church? If he judges it by the Roman Catholic, the Greek is gone. If he judges it by the Greek, the Roman's gone. If he judges it by Methodist, the Baptist is gone. If he judges it by the Baptist, the Methodist is gone, or vice versa. If he judges it by the oneness, the two-ness is gone. If he judges it by two-ness, the three-ness is gone. If he judges it by the three-ness, then they're both gone. There you are. What is it? He repeats, what is it, brethren? It's a bunch of nonsense. God has to have some standard. Now, that's what we held up to this morning, another piece of that standard. And remember, the scripture tells us we are not wise to judge ourselves by ourselves. But you better judge by the word of God. Okay? He says, if I had to join a church, which one would I join? Which one would I join? There's only one, and you don't join that. I've been in Branham family 54 years and never did join a family. I was born a Branham. I'm a Branham because my father is a Branham. And I'm a Christian because my Father is God. Amen. We're Christians upon that basis. We're Christians. We're born of His Spirit. There's the real catcher. If we're born of His Spirit. We're born of His Spirit, and the Spirit of my Father is in me. Listen. The Spirit of my Father is in me. I have the attributes of God in me. Wow. Can we answer that ourselves? Now, wait a minute. If we put our hand to the plow and keep looking back, now we know we ain't His. We know we're not His if we can't hate father and mother and brother and sister and all these things for His sake. We know we're not His disciple. We're not one. And all these other things Jesus mentions in many scriptures. You see, the pearl of great price. Have I sold everything I've got to obtain that pearl of great price? Have I sold out everything in my life to have Him have the complete preeminence of my life? Wow. He says here, God has to have some standard. He talks about joining church. He says, I read that. He said, I have the attributes of God in me, and they display theirself. Listen. And they display theirself like they did in His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I just read a few scriptures of how Jesus displayed Himself. That God has to be first. He has to be all things. He has to be the all in all. Okay? Remember last week I mentioned about what Brother Branham said again, Christ the mystery God revealed. He has to be the principal theme in our life. Amen. Principle is the most in importance in your life. The highest importance in your life. And the prophet, God's mouthpiece, said He must be the principal theme in our life, in our thinking, in our talks, in our walks. He says, and they display themselves, let's back up, I have the attributes of God in me, and they display themselves like they did in His Son, Jesus Christ. There you are. Upon this rock I'll build my church. There it is. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed it. And upon this rock I will build my church. What? What rock? I have the attributes of God in me. And they display themselves like they did in His Son, Jesus Christ. There you are. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Satan's going to try to. But he will not prevail against it. It's impossible. He's going to try to steal that away from God. He's going to try to steal God's people away from that, having that complete preeminence in their life. He's going to try to be that thief and try to steal it away. Yeah. If he has to give them a little better job and make more money. If he has to put a woman that he lives with, it's nothing but carnal. If maybe two join together and the husband's nothing but carnal and loves flesh and things of the world, he'll do all he can do to try to steer things in a way to make sure that he can steal away from God, him being all things in the people's lives. He'll throw something in the way. Yeah. May come along and my, Satan will inspire things and get in a wealthy old grandmother with lots of money and get to thinking in her mind, I want all this to go to, he's such a good person, he's a Christian, and I stand for the light. I'm not a Christian, but I stand for what he's believing. I'm going to make sure he gets all my money. And she dies. And then all that money. Now the fight's on. I get this. I can get that. And the mind's gone off of the will of God. Anything possible that he can muster up, he will do. Because his determination is to steal you away from God and to be a mocker. You think you've got a son. You think you've got somebody you can trust. He tried it on Job. But Job was a righteous man. Yeah. And Job always returned back to God. To everything God wanted. He held true. Regardless of what went on around him. He held true. But just think today, if just one of us would have one of those tests and trials. Just one of them. That we lost our children. That we lose our home. Just one of them. My, look at the murmuring and complaining going on today. Has God got something against me? What's going on? You done lost the battle when you went that way. Satan done stole you. Yeah. He done stole you away from God. Pause. Just one test. One test. God set Job there for a purpose, friends. Yeah. For an example. Scripture tells us these things were written for our example and our admonition. What are we going to do on these things? Can something be thrown at us that'll turn our minds off of the will of God? Ain't no big deal having our minds, Brother Steve, off of. No. Yes, it is. Yeah. Because we're supposed to have the. And our thoughts should be his thoughts. He's to have the preeminence of our thinking, even. Yeah. How can you do that, Brother Steve? By him placing that nature inside of you, a soul that controls the spirit, which is affection, memory, conscience, love, all those different things, reasoning. It controls all that. Brings in her submission. But God had to predestinate it. He had to predetermine all this before the world was ever formed. You see? Oh, what are we seeing going on, Brother Steve? Well, you're going to see in the last days that all this mess, a lot of people following even the end time message, you're going to find out whether predestinated seed or not. It'll show up. As bright as can be. Amen. Who is seed and who is non-seed. Yeah. Let's go on. He says here, let's read Hebrews 4 real quick. Hebrews 4:13. Try not to hold you too long. Hebrews 4:13. Because like I said, I already know I'm not going to go far enough or get there today. But trusting you'll be able to keep us all together in your hearts is when we come back to it. Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things, now as we start into this, I want you to start seeing this, all things. I'm telling you, God, He's got it covered all the way.
Amen.
Yeah, He does. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do.
Amen.
Wow. So, you mean, Brother Steve, I can't hide that He isn't first in my life? I can't hide that, Brother Steve? You mean He really knows that? Yes, He really knows that. Don't be so foolish to think He doesn't know that. He knows. Church Age Book, chapter 2, page 55, paragraph 1. Those fiery, flaming eyes of the judge are even now recording the lives of all flesh. Running to and fro throughout the earth, there is nothing He does not know. There is nothing that He does not know. He knows the desires of your heart. Wow. He knows the desires. And what each one intends to do. Wow. Don't you think Jesus didn't know the rich young ruler what He intended to do? He gave him the offer, but He already knew. There is nothing hidden. Nothing. Just remember, there is nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. For all things are naked before Him with whom we have to do. Think of it, He says. He knows even now what you're thinking. You sit in those benches, He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're thinking about what I'm up here reading today. He knows how you feel about it. He knows your attitude towards it. Yeah. He already knows this past week what you thought about things. How much more important it was to you than Him. Close here in just a little bit. Let me read a couple more scripture. Hebrew 2. Go back to Hebrew 2 and 8th to 10th verse. Again, now start keeping these things in your mind more and more. Hebrews 2, 8th chapter, or I'm sorry, Hebrews 2nd chapter, 8th verse. Thou hast put all things in subjection under His feet. For in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him. But now we see, not yet all things put under Him. But now we see, not yet all things put under Him. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by grace, the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became Him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Wow. Are you seeing something yet? God covers everything. Everything. You're not going to approach something new in your life that, oh, God's never had to go through this, or He don't know what I'm going through. Oh, yes, He does. It's all covered. Yeah. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. And we'll close for this morning. And the first verse. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Now what I'm going to read next few verses down, Peter's saying He's sharing this with us. Obtain like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Can I read it again? According as his divine power hath given unto us. Now, as I say many times, but I've got to do it for myself. He hath given unto me. You have to be the same that he gave to you. According to his divine power, I've given unto us all things. He gave me all things that pertain unto life. What life? The original Greek says the nature of God. The very nature of God. And godliness. Respecting to that nature of God. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Amen. Remember that before we're heading. That by these you might be partakers of the divine. Takers of that God nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Glory, hallelujah. Thank God for that desire. But its interest is not to waste time. Mechanical devices, life in general, of carnal flesh. A mother or dad that would maybe try to take me from the Word. My sister or my brother would try to take me from the Word. No. Thank God. If there's something on the inside that brings the body under subjection, to be a partaker of that divine nature. That through Christ and in Christ, all things returns back to him through this body of flesh. That he truly has a life that he can depend on and lean on and live through and have control of. That whatever he wants done, their reply back is, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. As it was our Lord Jesus, he said, not my will, but thine be done. Can we say, nevertheless, Lord?
Amen.
Not my will, but thine be done. And have a life to back it up. And prove it. And prove it. Saints, we got believers in this message that use tobacco. We got people in this message that are so interested in sports. It's just unbelievable. And Brother Branham said it was nothing but the world. As the world delights and they're screaming and hollering these ball games, our delight is in something else. You see? They desire this has to be this way in life, and they have to have this certain clothing, or they have to have this certain pair of shoes, or they get upset at the husband. Or if the husband ain't got this certain thing to do, this he gets all frizzle-frazzled and upset. He has a little test and trial. Maybe the refrigerator goes out and he's just trying to control his temper because the refrigerator went out. That he has to go spend money and to buy another refrigerator. Trying to control himself to keep from blowing your stack. And he gets up in the morning and the bed jumps out in front of him and he stubs his toe and he really gets upset. Bed, why'd you do that? To the time where you're seed or we're not seed. What are we? are elected or we are not elected. Jesus plainly said, we can't do these things. And I cannot be his disciple. Impossible. Impossible. Laws of the land, which you just can't seem to keep. And you can take a child. Hey, Gideon. Come up here, buddy. Come up here. I ain't going to hurt you. Come here, buddy. You precious little fella, don't you be scared. Come here. Do you know the laws of the land? You're not supposed to speed, don't you? You know that's bad, don't you? Yeah, because why? Jesus don't want it, right? Is that right? Huh? Jesus don't want us to break the laws, does he? I know you know that. If everybody else knew it like you did, there'd be a lot of adults in there better shape. You know that? Keep that always in your heart. Go back. That child knows more than some of the adults sitting here. I know for a fact. That child would obey some of the laws of land better than some of the adults would. Will God continue to have mercy? Will he? Or will he turn his head and say, ah, look away. No. You cannot be my disciples. The only way you can be is if Jesus Christ takes complete preeminence of your lives. And God predestinated a channel for that. Oh, hallelujah. According as divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, Brother Steve, you're a little bit of a fanatic on things. Am I? What about the young man that was squirrel hunting? He wanted to shoot more than the limit that day. What about Billy Paul? When Billy Paul was driving and taking him to different meetings, Billy Paul would slip up over the speed limit. Brother Branham peck on Billy Paul's, get it back down, boy. Give Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give God what belongs to God. That man had eternal life. Yeah. How many of us have eternal life? How many of us have a divine nature that is bigger than our flesh and can control our flesh the way we think? Isn't God great enough to do that? To control a flesh body? When he can calm the waves on the ocean.
Amen.
He can make the sun shine. He can make the clouds come and rain. For another scripture we'll read later tonight. Lord willing. For by him were all things created. Amen. And by him all things consist. By him, all things will be fulfilled through this body of flesh whom Christ has predestinated. Regardless of the condition that people's in, regardless of the condition of believers is in, so called to be, God will have a people that he will live through and will have the preeminence. How great thou art. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us all stand. Don't you sisters come to us if you would, please. May not understood fully about little Gideon there. But God knows.
Amen.
God knows. He would obey that law better than some of you adults would. It says you got the Holy Ghost. Nobody forced him to say what he said. He just spoke what was in his little heart. It's a shame. What all word we've been given, and yet can't obey the little things. What did Brother Branham say? If we can't do our ABCs, how are we ever going to be in algebra?
Amen.
Oh, God, help us. Everything's set for a purpose, friends.
Amen.
Everything. If you will, turn your Bible or your book, your Only Believe book, to 101. When I Survey the Cross. Amen. Brothers, help me on that, if you will. I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of glory died. My riches gained, I count the loss and poor content on all my pride, for it is Lord that I dismiss it, if you will. Come on up. Amen. Good to have him with us today. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're glad to feel your presence in our hearts, Lord. It's nice to feel your blessings flow freely. praise you and worship you, Lord. Thankful for what you mean to us and these people here, Lord. Thankful for your word in this hour, Lord, and the revelation that's come forth in me, Lord. Thank you for the warnings that have gone forth, the pointing things out, Lord, that you must be first in our lives in all things, Lord, no matter the simplest of circumstances that would come before us, Lord. You're still first, Lord, because you live in our hearts, and we give you thanks and praise for that, Lord. Pray that you would go with us as we travel, Lord. Each ones go their separate ways, Lord. We just keep us in your presence, Lord, and